And we're going to continue with open lines this hour. We're going to get an update at the half with Alex Jones, who's in Austin, Texas. We're going to chat with Mark Studdard, who is the hurricane chaser. And we'll take the rest of your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to our special hurricane hotline number. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
Captain Spike Mike from the Fantastic Forum.
Mike, how are you? You're right out there in some of this, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and you just caught the power just cut off for about 5 seconds and cut back on.
Well, there's a miracle right there. Well, tell me what's going on in your area, Mike.
Well, the storm is about 90 miles east of us. It is making landfall right now. We got about 280,000 coastal residents without power, so I'm kind of lucky here.
Oh, so far, yeah. Now, you're out there in a rural area, though, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm in a little town called Highlands, Texas, 22 miles east of Houston.
What's the population out there?
Population of this little town is about 6,000, 7,000 people.
Oh, God,
We're just next to Baytown, which has about 60,000 people.
I assume then you got trees all over the place. Are they crackling and falling?
No, if the hurricane winds extend out 85 miles, we are just out on the outside border of that. So the winds are only gusting up to probably about 80, 85 miles an hour. We're getting sustained winds of about 50 to 60, 65 here.
How much rain are you getting, Mike?
Not much, really. We've only probably had about an inch, maybe an inch and a half.
Now, are you in the path of the hurricane?
No.
Okay, so you're just on the periphery. You may be getting the worst right now, then.
Right. Well, we've been having these conditions since about 1 o'clock Central Time here.
Well, now if I remember right, you're a bicyclist, right? Because you were a fan of Lance Armstrong.
Oh yeah, Lance is the man.
Okay, there's no way you're going to go out on that bicycle tonight, is there?
I might give it a shot. Put on the night vision goggles and just hit the streets.
Well, you better tie yourself to your bike. You'll end up like that witch in the Wizard of Oz up there. If she was on her broom, you'll be up there pedaling away.
I can get my cat Pantera and put him in a basket in the front. He can be like E.T., phone home.
Yeah, you take care. Well, I'm glad you're okay, Mike, and everybody else in that region.
We're doing all right, George.
Okay, thanks a lot.
We're buttoned up, and we're prepared for this, and thanks to the internet, we had a lot of good information to make good decisions by.
It's been a useful tool during these kinds of situations, hasn't it?
Very useful.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, George.
Take care. That's Spike Mike of the Fantastic Forum, one of the many chat rooms I talk about every Friday here on Coast to Coast. Hey, let's go to Mark, back to the hurricane chaser. Mark, you've got to be in the eye now, I would guess. Are you not?
Yeah, I'm very close to it. It is starting to let up. The pressure is extremely low, down to 944 millibars. Dropped about 20 millibars since we first talked. The eye is starting to pass over me now. Everything's starting to let up.
Okay, but now once the eye goes through, you've still got the other half there, right? The backside.
Yeah, typically that would be the case. In this situation, the other side is pretty ragged and almost non-existent. So it may not be as bad as what we're used to.
Are we lucky, Mark? I mean, is this hurricane, as bad as it is, could it have been much worse?
Oh, absolutely. This could have been worse than Katrina, with the air pressure down there at 897 millibars at one point, the third lowest in recorded history. This could have come in here and absolutely wiped some of these places off the face of the earth.
So now what we got to hope for is that it doesn't bring as much rain as they expect and that these winds die down pretty fast. Is any of that possible?
The winds will die down pretty fast, but it's just going to seem like it takes forever because of how slow it's going to move after it gets inland. And the big flood threat, though, I'm afraid, is almost a guarantee because this is a large, very powerful hurricane. It's going to take many days for it to completely go away. And there's even some indications from what I have heard that the remnant circulation could come back to the south at some point and maybe approach the Gulf of Mexico again. We're going to have to keep an eye on that.
Oh, my gosh, that would be
like
devastating.
Kind of like Ivan did last year.
Understand. Now, Mark, explain to us how all this water gets picked up. Is it the swirling motion of the hurricane and it just kind of scoops up the ocean and the Gulf water? Is that what happens?
Well, that's part of it. It'll whip the ocean up into a frenzy, and it'll take advantage of that froth, if you will, and turn that into, you know, help with the condensation. But mostly it's the latent heat, the moisture, the energy sort of trapped in that really humid, moisture-filled air over the oceans. As the water temperatures get above 80 degrees and higher, in some cases in the Gulf this year they were above 90 degrees, that's a tremendous amount of energy available in the atmosphere. Water actually sort of in the atmosphere. It evaporates off the surface of the ocean. And, well, we're getting sort of the last few minutes of the eye wall here. I tell you, I hope it hadn't stalled over me, because we've been saying I'm going to be in the eye for the last little while now.
You know, now that's true. Now, if it has stalled, what does that mean?
Oh, well, that would just be a nightmare, because that means I'm going to be sitting in this for a lot longer than I want to be. But it's moving. It's just what's happening is the eye wall is pinwheeling around, and it has to get completely out from over me, basically. And as it's moving in, it's also pinwheeling, and so it's taking a little bit longer. But, I mean, like right now, the intensity overall is coming down as the pressure drops. But to answer your question earlier, there is just a tremendous amount of energy stored in the atmosphere because of these warm tropical oceans, and hurricanes are simply a way to get rid of it.
What do you see, if anything? I know it's very dark where you are, but, I mean, can you see anything out there?
I can see the road, and even with all of this rain, it is not flooded in the least. Maybe Texas has a really good drainage system or something, because it is not flooding. That's just where I am under my truck. That's not representative of the entire region, obviously. But no, I really can't see much beyond my hood of my car with this blasting wind and rain. But in a little while, when the eye comes over, I will venture out just a little bit. I'm not going to go driving around too much. I don't want to put myself in danger, and I wouldn't recommend other people do that. So I'm just going to look around my immediate area.
I mean, in theory, if you're in the wrong spot, that could take that SUV you're in, can it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I have to be very careful and give it the respect it deserves, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, we may check with you before the end of the hour, Mark, okay?
Yeah, I did that one more time, and I tell you what, if I'm not in the eye at that point, something bad has happened to the hurricane itself in that it has slowed down dramatically, because it really should be in the next few minutes, and I appreciate
right.
you spending time with me.
Well, I do too, but one last question then. If it has slowed down dramatically, that means these areas are going to get a lot of water, right?
A lot of water and a long time of this sustained wind. That's going to be the big problem if it has slowed down dramatically. But the slowdown is not supposed to happen until it's well inland.
Okay. All right. We'll check back with you in about 30 minutes. Mark, the hurricane tracker. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
I am fine. Thank you.
You know, I was listening to the news, you know, watching the hurricane coverage. And first of all, I do want to say my prayers are with everyone in the affected areas. And especially with the evacuees who had to evacuate yet again. Feel so sorry for those poor people. But I was watching the news earlier, and they went to a comment by the mayor of Houston, Bill White. And I actually recorded it for you because his choice of words was so unusual that I thought you might be interested in hearing it.
Now, what do you mean by unusual?
Well, he basically said we were unable to disarm this storm, is what he said. He said it's a very dangerous storm. We have been unable to disarm it. And I mean, I've got the clip. I've got it queued up. I've got it ready to go.
All right, let's listen to it.
Okay. Let me cue it, and here you go.
All right.
Earlier, we heard.
This is the reporter. Here it is.
The very visible mayor of Houston.
We are prepared as a community, more prepared than any community has ever been. We have one of the biggest evacuations in American history in a short period of time. But this storm is dangerous, and we have not disarmed this storm. So don't be naive.
All right. That is interesting.
Not an interesting choice of words?
I would love for someone to follow up with him on that and say, now, Mayor, what did you mean by disarm? As if we have that ability, do we?
Exactly. I mean, I could understand him saying, you know, our prayers have not been able to slow this storm down or something like that. But the way he said it so forcefully, we have not been able to disarm this storm. It's almost like some of your other guests have been saying, people have been dropping hints here and there. And then you got the president going off to, you know, Colorado into the bunker. And it really makes me wonder if the satellite they launched the night before didn't have something to do with trying to disarm this storm.
You know what? That's good, and good heads up on your part. Thanks for that clip.
Hey, no problem. Anytime I hear something, I'll record it for you.
You got it. How about that? We've got reporters everywhere. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Ty Darin, where are you calling from?
California.
Well, welcome to the show, sir. Go ahead.
How are you doing? Enjoy your program. I've been listening to for many years. I just had to throw something at you and see what you think. You know, with this war protesting they're having in, I believe it's in Washington and also in LA.
Washington and LA, right.
You know, and with the powers that be being out of town in Colorado, you know, I really had this weird feeling that that would be a perfect opportunity for something to happen at this one of these protests to inflame the American people again to support the president in his war in Iraq. What do you think about that?
Well, give me a for instance.
Well, you know, some kind of
terrorist action, something
like that. And there's been a lot of strange goings on anyway, and I really was thinking about it. They go, wow, that'd be a weird, good time, you know, for them to get their. And I have a hard time sometimes believing that the government does things, you know, towards its own people, but it just seems like it's more and more happening, more and more, and
these cases, I don't think governments are doing things to us. I think they're taking advantage of events that are happening. Did they, a long time ago, turn their head and simply say, well, maybe we're not going to let, we'll just let this happen? That's possible. That is very, very possible. But I don't think that this government intentionally went out to do something to people. And I don't think they're doing it now. I think they're aware that a lot of people are watching what they're doing and watching what other governments are doing as well. But I do believe that they take advantage of opportunities and exploit it. And then some of the greedy people within government are taking advantage of it and exploiting it and making a lot of money on us. I mean, case in point, Hurricane Katrina, look what happens. Halliburton gets a $58 billion no-bid contract for some of the cleanup work, which they're going to then farm out some of the business to smaller companies, of which a lot of the companies, it's their own subsidiaries. I mean, let's face it, had this tragedy not occurred, that $58 million wouldn't have flowed to the company. Simple as that. If there are no wars, none of these manufacturers of military might and hardware make money, do they? So you got to look at who benefits and then question why and where. I think they just take advantage of events. And in some cases, some of these companies may be responsible for some of the episodes that are occurring in order to induce things to happen. I think that's possible. But I think by and large, our politicians truly aren't really smart enough to concoct things like this. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
How you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I'm calling from Kansas. I was calling about the earlier in the show you were talking about, an email you received talking about the conspiracy of the creation and directing of this hurricane for government benefit.
Yes.
I was actually the gentleman who sent that email.
Oh, that was you. Okay. I'm glad you got through.
George.
Tell me why you sent it.
I sent that because I listened to a couple of your shows. I've been listening to you for about 4 months now, and heard you talking to Scott Stevens, and also was interested shortly after you were talking about after Katrina hit, you're talking to Scott Stevens and another professional about this hurricane, and I thought it was rather funny because the gentleman said that with this large hurricane coming through, that all the upwelling would cause there to not be another large hurricane this season. And the thing that I thought was funny about that is you have to take into account that the Gulf of Mexico is a large volume body of water, and not to mention the fact that it is one of the areas of the planet, especially close to the United States, that receives the most direct sunlight, therefore increasing your heating.
True.
And so I was driven to go to Scott Stevens' website, and I went on there and looked around some of his website, and saw that I could send him an email. And I know that he is a firm believer that the Russians control such technology.
And the Japanese now, too, apparently. The Japanese mobsters, yeah.
And I sent him a copy of this as well, and I actually received a email back from him tonight. But what I thought was that how could this possibly be? The Russians, I mean, their history of such a poor economy, it seems impossible that they would be able to come up with the money, let alone the resources, to even fathom creating such a thing. I mean, even if they did have this kind of technology, who's to say they wouldn't take it to increase, their good weather there so they could better produce crops?
Well, and you know what they've already said? I think they're talking about some special games, some events. They went on record as saying, don't worry, it's not going to rain because we can control it. I mean, they've said things like that. But here's the big question. Do you believe that weather can be manipulated, regardless of by whom?
I believe it can. However, I don't believe we are that far in technology. That's why when I sent an email to Scott Stevens, I said, you know, it seems more likely that the United States, with its wealth and its power, would be able to create such an item. And here's the big idea. We got this big problem with Iraq. As soon as the Iraq war kicked off, the protests and everything went off. And as a result of everything that was going on, the economy dropped and dropped and dropped. And everyone's in a big uproar about gas prices and increasing prices on everything across the world. So the government obviously has this large economical problem. Okay, say our government does control such technologies. A government official sees this as an opportunity and says, hey, how about this? We create a large disaster with this technology. Let's say a beloved city in the United States, such as New Orleans. This is also an area that has a very high poverty level, a very high crime level. And the resulting rebuilding is going to boost the economy so far, not to mention that you're getting rid of these thousands of people who live off of the welfare and the health care benefits that the government provides and pays for.
They kind of get rid of a blighted area and rebuild it.
And then at the same time, the big picture is everyone's focusing on this big disaster, and the attention has been averted from the initial problem, the Iraq war.
Well, as I've always said, you know what? Follow the trail, and maybe you'll get the answers. Your theory is as good as anyone or anything I've heard. I'll be back in a moment. We'll take more of your phone calls in a moment with an update on Hurricane Rita from Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Those of you in Chicago, fast blast me to an answer to this question. There's a reason. There's a method behind my madness. Do you know who Jack Quinlan was? All right. Those of you in Chicago, do you know who Jack Quinlan was? If you do, just send me a fast blast. I just want to hold on to that for a week or two, and then you'll find out why. Let's go to Alex Jones for an update on Hurricane Rita. Alex, what's the latest? I'm told by some, Richard C. Hoagland sent me a message that it seems to be making a right-hand turn away from the oil fields. Have you seen that or hear that?
Yes, it is turning more towards the east right now. There have been a lot of new big developments. A section of I-10 has collapsed by Lake Charles, of course, near Port Arthur. That's the major highway there that runs east to west and west to east. So a large overpass on I-10 it's being reported by the Associated Press and others, has collapsed. Also, the Lake Charles Airport, a large area of the terminal, has had the roof ripped off, and the hangars are gone. And the Island Capri Casino is splitting apart and collapsing right now on Lake Charles. And there's a large barge that's been careening about for much of the evening. The main force of the hurricane is now gone onto land with 120-mile-an-hour winds. The radar towers in the area have been knocked out, so there's no local Doppler radar. In the last 30 minutes, it has come fully ashore and is now slowing down, which is actually dangerous, again, because it's going to dump so much water in that one spot instead of distributing it out. So that's happening right now. And, of course, about 300,000 people in Texas on the Gulf Coast or more are out of power right now. Now, obviously, the flooding is going to be very serious, but much of these levels are not below sea level, so it'll have a chance to flow down to the rivers and the different tributaries back out to the ocean. I don't want to say we've dodged a bullet. That was said in the first few days after Katrina. We learned that wasn't true. So with Rita, we've don't want to go ahead and say everything's okay now, but it looks like that it's a lot better than it would have been if it would have come ashore as a Category 5 at 170 miles an hour, or Category 4 at 145 or 150. That would have been biblical in its destructive proportions. It shows us how dangerous these times are with these incredibly active, record-level hurricane cycles, that a Category 3 coming ashore and causing this level of devastation is considered a blessing compared to what we could have had. But the eye is now over land, well inland, fully inland right now at 3:38 Central Standard Time. And there's been, of course, several other developments as well. George Bush is going to be leaving NORTHCOM after he has breakfast with the troops tomorrow, out there running this bizarre scenario. They won't say if it's real or not, of Special Forces troops looking for WMDs and, quote, hot spots, including D.C. around the country, and practicing continuity of government or FEMA takeover. And quote, the military engaging the American people. That's in the Washington Post today. Bush will be traveling tomorrow to Austin, Texas, where I am right now, to oversee the disaster relief and the rescue operations. And then he'll travel to San Antonio and spend the night there. But right now, George, that is basically my report. The oil refineries are showing some signs of damage, but obviously people can't get out and get up close to them right now. There's also a lot of chemical plants and plastic plants in those areas, and there's going to be a big problem now with the upwards of almost 2 million people from southern western Louisiana and south eastern Texas, who are now scattered all over areas of Louisiana and northern and central Texas, trying to now in the next few days get back into their homes. And the state government is saying, take your time. People aren't going to be going back to work in these affected areas for the next few days. No need to rush, because the rush could end up killing as many people as this hurricane may have unfortunately killed. We're not getting numbers on that yet, but any type of flooding of this level, we're going to unfortunately probably see some casualties, George.
Okay, Alex, thank you for your work tonight. Appreciate it.
Well, George, thank you for letting me report, because this is obviously near and dear to my heart, having family in many of the affected areas, and we'll continue to track what's happening, as well as some of the possible weather modification at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. And again, thanks for the great reporting you've been doing this evening, George.
All right, that's Alex Jones out there live in Austin, Texas for us. We'll be back for the rest of your phone calls. Open line time on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, back Monday, the program will originate in Los Angeles. Ian Punnett tomorrow, Art Bell on Sunday, and of course they will update you on the aftermath of Hurricane Rita. Let's go back to the phones. First time caller line, it's your turn, and where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, where are you?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania, Lowellboro.
Well, welcome to the program. What's on your mind this morning?
First of all, I want to thank you for letting the common man speak. even though you may disagree, you still let us talk.
Well, thank you.
And God bless you for that. And I first want to say that my father is a Vietnam vet. My husband's a former U.S. Marine. And please pray for our country, because she's on her butt. I'm not political. I'm analytical. And I'm spiritual. And we're in some hard times. As far as the raccoons, I came from a very, very poor family. I lived off of deer meat. For the first 10 years of my life, I lived off of raccoons, possums, chickens, you name it. My dad was one of the best hunters and fishermen in Westmoreland County. The animals that fed me, I've now learned to respect and honor. Raccoons come up to me with no problem. In fact, I'm trying to pass a law right now. You're probably wondering, how the hell can I be talking about raccoons in a time like this? You know, that, yeah, but I'm talking about a caller that was previous before this. I'm trying to pass a law. I call the PA Game Commission. They tell me I could shoot if it has rabies. I don't want to shoot it. I want to save it.
What would you do if you thought it had rabies?
If I thought it had rabies, that's why I'm trying to pass a law right now. There's a cure for it. This country cannot even take care of its people, let alone its animals. How can, you know, it's just, you can't even take care of a wild animal, let alone its people. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to get about. That it's just, I don't even know what to say. As far as my father being a Vietnam vet, my husband being a former U.S. Marine, it's always God, country, family. I'm always last. If I could tell you the history on my father, I'm the poorest member of the family.
Well, let me stop you, though. What are you trying to say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is this country is on her butt. I don't want to blame Katrina or Rita for God. I can't point it at God. I don't know if the president's starting. I don't know. All I know is the Holy Bible and that history always repeats itself.
Well, and it may happen over and over again, like you just said. Thanks. Appreciate your call in the wee hours out there in Pennsylvania. Our next call is our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
I'm Bob, and I'm in Freeport, Louisiana, about to get hit by the hurricane. Hurricane in a month.
It must get frustrating after a while, doesn't it?
Well, I was in Metairie, Louisiana, when the first one came through and got 3 feet of sludge water in my apartment and wiped out half my goods.
Does insurance cover any of that for you?
I'm disabled and on Social Security disability. I didn't have a penny of insurance.
No, you couldn't afford it, obviously, yeah.
No, and I fought FEMA for 3 weeks, and I finally got that after being promised 11 times. But what I'm calling about is you were talking about following the money. I can tell you where it is. It comes in and where it ends.
Well, where's it come in and where's it go?
It's coming into the Red Cross, and that's where it stops, because they have a Red Cross monetary assistance line. I've dialed it 24,000 times in the last 7 days. You get a recording that says, due to the amount of calls that are coming in due to the Hurricane Katrina, be patient. This phone call is going to be disconnected, and the best thing you can do is be patient and call back this number.
Oh, so you try that number and nothing happens, right?
Nothing happens. I've been calling. I went down to the Red Cross shelter here in Shreveport, and I went down to actually talk to those people. They've got a shelter here where they've got hundreds of people up, and there's nothing we can do. You have to cut. There's no money. We can't give out any money here. Here's a 1-800 number that you can call.
Didn't you get one of those $2,000 debit cards they were giving out for a while?
When I went into the shelter, they said, we had took up names for that 7 days ago. You're late.
No money for you.
No money for me. So I'm compiling letters and getting ready to send it to the Attorney General and the President, although the President's on the line saying, please send your money into the Red Cross. in order to help these people from Katrina. And that is the biggest bunch of bull.
Well, keep fighting the good fight. You okay otherwise?
Well, I'm broke and in Shreveport, Louisiana. My home is ruined in Metairie, Louisiana. And I can't wait to get back. I was a season Saints ticket holder. I'm a retired truck driver. I spent getting on disability. I'd spent years planning on getting down there. I moved down there 5 months ago and got wiped out.
Well, keep the faith. We're with you. We'll say a little prayer for you. It's not easy. You know what? Yeah, for those of you who have not been affected by these disasters, you can thank your lucky stars, because just listening to some of the true grief that's out there, I mean, those of us who have not been affected are truly lucky, I'm telling you. And it could happen to any of us. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is this Brother Norrie? Brother
this
George
is.
Norrie.
This is Brother George.
How you doing, Brother George? This is your brother Reed in West Covina.
Hi there, sir. Who are you? Yeah, I do remember
you. How
you
doing?
I'm fine.
Listen, I got a great thing on truth for you, okay?
All right.
And I got it. I got it. Finally, 53 years. I've been stumbling around this planet, going hither, thither, falling on my face, committing all sins. I'm dirty. But I got it now. I got it straight. I've got it.
Sure.
Now, everybody out there, listen, because I'm going to tell you something. Call those funny little missionaries in the Mormon Church, yes, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They got it. They got the truth. They're not perfect yet. There's a lot of bad ones. There's bad apples in all of them. There's so much filth out there. This planet is filthy. And it's not going to get any better.
But it's also good, though. It's also good, though, Reed. There's some goodness there.
There's a lot of good. Oh, there's so much. Oh, Tom, let me tell you. There's so much good there. But there's a lot of wickedness. And there's murders. My little girl was murdered last year.
Oh,
and my son has been sodomized. And my children have been pillaged and raped. And I've been stabbed in the side and in the back. I've had every kind of thing done to me. I've been robbed. I've been stolen from. I've had every kind of thing happen to me that's ever happened to a man. And that's why I'm the one that's telling you. Get those funny little missionaries out to your house. Take the lessons. Get baptized. So you can get your sins forgiven, get your hands laid on so you can get the gifts and power of the Holy Ghost. Then when you're 12, you can get the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood, and then you can become a deacon, teacher, priest. Then when you're 18, you can get the Holy or Melchizedek priesthood, and you get married in the temple. That is the temple of the Lord. Then you can go get your washings and anointings and endowments. Then you get married and sealed on the everlasting covenant. Then, if you walk the straight and narrow, you can get into that pretty kingdom up there. It is there.
Oh, I've brother. Let me tell you something. Have you heard J.C. Collart?
I don't know him, no.
You sound like him.
Well, I tell you what, I've had a great enlightenment lately. I mean, I've been struck down and slapped by God and raised up to prophesy that there is...
Do me one quick favor, and then I'll let you go because I got more calls here.
Well, I got in, and I knew I'd get in tonight.
Do a quick little rant for me. I want to just hear what you sound like. You know, without being real bad.
You want to hear what I sound like? What you?
Yeah, think? Just a real loud, quick rant about something. I just want to hear you.
What do you want me to rant about? You want me to rant and rave, or you want me to rave and rant?
You just say something about evil.
Well, okay, there is a Satan. He's a devil. He is a real... He doesn't have a body. He's never going to get one. That's why he hates us, because we have this beautiful machine. We're a machine. That's all we are. Our fuel is food, and our... what we drink is what we sweat out. That's what we drink to purify our bodies. Okay,
that's good enough, brother. Thanks. Now, I got to tell you, if you speed him up and you make him louder and faster and more enraged, doesn't he sound like J.C.? He does to me. Let's go back to Mark, the hurricane chaser up there. Mark, what's going on up there?
I'm in the eye now. I'm watching two seagulls just sitting here on the pavement resting. It's as calm as it could be, just a light rain, little breezy, that's about it. But this is the eye. I'm in the eye right now.
Now, what's going to happen to these two seagulls when the eye starts to roll on?
This is a different kind of hurricane. When the backside comes in, it's not going to be anywhere near like the front side. This is a sort of front-loaded hurricane, if you will. So these seagulls will be just fine, I think, as well as most of the area that I've been in. There's damage, you know, moderate damage, and you're going to have your areas of some pretty significant damage. But I've made my way down towards the coast here again relatively easily. and I have seen no storm surge where I am at this immediate area near Port Arthur. Just letting people know, the immediate area near Port Arthur, apparently no levee break, no storm surge issues. I don't know about the Gulf of Mexico area because I'm not going to go near there yet.
I understand. If anything, we may just have some high wind damage out there, huh?
That's what it looks like. There's definitely large branches, but I have seen no major structural damage around this area, Beaumont to Port Arthur. It seems to have done reasonably well considering what was lurking off the coast a couple of days ago. But I think it's amazing. Again, here I am. I'm talking to you from the eye of a hurricane.
That is amazing. And what are you going to do over the next few days, Mike? What your schedule and the rest of your colleagues?
Well, we have some good wind data, some video. We write commentary. We're going to do news media work and get ready to sort of focus on what remains of the next few weeks of the season. It's not over yet, and a lot of it is going to be rest.
Absolutely. And give us your website, if you would, Mike. Mark?
Sure. Mark, yeah, thank you. The website is hurricanetrack.com. Hurricanetrack.com.
Mark, thanks for the updates throughout the night. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Okay, that's Mark Studdeth, and he has been tracking hurricanes for years and just called us right in the eye of Hurricane Rita. Now, that's got to be a first for us, so I want to thank him for that. He went way beyond the line of duty on that one, indeed. We are running out of time for calls, so we're not going to take any more calls at this point. Also, special thanks to Alex Jones for his updates. Always thanks to Richard C. Hoagland. If you get a moment, get up to his enterprisemission.com, get up to his blog and see some of his thoughts and theories on what's been going on. Ian Punnett will be on Saturday. He'll update us on the aftermath of Hurricane Rita. As the sun comes up, we'll be able to look at some of the damage. And let's hope it's just not widespread, and maybe it's contained. Maybe we lucked out. At least let's hope we did. So say a little prayer, and I don't know. I still kind of battle with myself over whether mind experiments are workable or not and whether we should have attempted something. I guess in Katrina's case, could it have hurt? I mean, how much badly could that have gotten if we had made a mistake? I don't know. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you Monday from Los Angeles. Until then, be safe, everyone.